blessings
of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Niroha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Niroha, Gami Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, the Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances. The precept of obedience to all good laws. The precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibited precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness. In the practice of pure attention. In the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct dhyana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sabaha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
Shall we talk about this morning? Jen.
So, I've been looking at what, to me, is such an interesting sort of seemingly paradox about practice. Let's see. So, you know, there's that, the way is easy for those who have no preferences.
Mm-hmm. It's an old, can't remember where
I
came from.
I was wishing you, I'm hoping you might have the reference.
Jean does.
It's the sense in man.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, good. So what's, and that's very much my experience, that when there's that just dropping into not being someone who wants a bunch of stuff and who needs life to go a certain way and all that. It's just incredibly relaxing and joyful and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I watch is getting to this place of, okay, I'm going to do that.
You want that.
Yeah, exactly.
The preference just bumps back a level.
Yeah. And when you say it like that, it's like, it's just so easy, but it doesn't feel easy in the middle of it.
Yeah. Well, it never does it?
No. And I just find it really fun to sometimes look at that kind of stuff in group, because it's this interesting place where, you know, there's no, on one level you could say, there's nothing that we need to talk about, because it's all completely okay. It's going to be okay. It always is okay. It always turns out okay. You know, all of those things. And yet, it seems so fun to explore these places that I end up again and again, just to kind of hear myself say it, you know, hear other people explore it, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, we know that's true, that everything is okay, but we don't know the how of that.
Yes.
A lot of times. It feels like that's what we talk about in group, is that, yeah, you know, the how of that. How is that so, and how do we practice that, and how does that work? Because
yes,
that's what helps us to kind of bridge the gap between the habit, which is to,
yeah,
you know, be in a world of preferences, you know, where we're suffering and something's,
yeah,
wrong,
mm-hmm,
to that other place that we know is possible. But, you know, we, without a how, we can only grasp it intellectually. We can't actually experience it.
Yes, exactly. And it's so fun to drop into the experiencing it,
mm-hmm,
place.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, at least in my experience, the time when something arises as a koan or that sort of thing, like I'm talking about, either the experience has just been had and now conditioning wants to take it to a, now, let me think about this place to cover that over, or the, you know, the experience is circling right around there somewhere.
Yeah, it's in the neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I'll just say a little bit more about it. So there's that place of, oh right, you know, the way is easy for those other preferences, and really experiencing that that place. And that when I, that's the clue already, right? When I, how do I say it? So, okay, so it'll be the sense of, yeah, you know what, life, I just, whatever. You know what, whatever. And there's this interesting place where it feels like I'm required to stay actively in the game in some way. And I don't know how quite how to describe that. That's sort of an interesting place that I look at. What I suspect is that conditioned mind translates that. It's sort of a, oh, okay, well, she's going to do that. Here's what we can do with this. Translates that into a of being passive. And, you know, so it would sort of look like a, something comes along, an opportunity, and that could, that conditioner could come in and sort of interpret, well, don't put yourself out there to participate in that, because if life wants you to, it will ask you to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what just came through, actually, was the, that little story about the flood, where the guy is, you know, there's
oh, I know that story.
It's raining, uh-huh. The flood line is getting higher and higher, and everyone says, you know, we got to get out of here, and he says, God will provide, and so he goes up to the second story of his house, and, you know, whatever, a boat comes by to try to rescue, he said, no, God will provide, and then he has to get up on a roof, and the helicopter comes by, you know, to rescue you, he's like, no, God will provide, so he drowns, right, and he says,
he's up in heaven.
Yeah, he's up in heaven. Like, what's the deal? God, I thought you were going to save me. He's like, I sent you a boat and a helicopter. So maybe it's that place of just letting go of the I who has an idea of what it's going to look like.
And yeah, let me say what I think you're saying. Tell me if I get what you're saying. That that what conditioning is trying to do all the time is to get us in a fixed place.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're not kind of in the flow of life. That's
yeah.
kind of what I hear you talking about, is being in the flow, kind of what we talk about as being in the flow of life.
Yeah.
So like a preference takes us out of that, because now I have to fix something that I'm assuming.
Yeah.
There's an I that gets built around that, and so I'm like this solid thing that is out separate from just life as it's happening.
Yeah.
And I think what you're talking about when you're talking about being like staying in the game is staying out of those little boxes.
Yes.
Those little mental kind of places that will lodge ourselves,
mm-hmm.
so you can stay. It's not even just not having preferences, but not living as if like concepts are real or something like that. So letting that go, so you can stay involved with life as it unfolds,
mm-hmm.
and that it can take it wherever it can take you, or where those possibilities can arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say yes to those or
mm-hmm.
like that. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, yep. And as you were saying that, I was just seeing how it's like, I think it's a form of the illusion of control. So, you know, it's what always happens. Conditioning takes an authentic experience and tries to turn it back into a concept. So the experience of just the joy of just being here and not being someone who has preferences, right? And then turning that back into, okay, well, if I can, then I'll be able to feel that way. And that what I saw when you were saying that was in just whatever, just doing whatever, I feel always. And that if all of that's okay, then, like, I talked about this a little bit on Thursday night, and I've been practicing it a lot since then, is we were talking about recording and listening. And people were talking about their different ways of practicing that, and I was talking about one thing that I do, which I call seaweed, where I just, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of recordings, and I just put it on shuffle, and just, you know, whatever random recording comes up. And I just practice with, you know, whatever comes up as I listen to that. So sometimes it would be one like, oh, I don't really want to listen to that one, or that one takes me to this place I don't want to go, or that one, But I practice just not, just, that's completely fine. You know, I feel however I feel about it, and it's sort of that place,
mm-hmm.
which is bigger than, okay, I really want to feel peaceful right now, or I really want to feel calm. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a, ironically it is peaceful, but it's a bigger place of just feeling, being okay with whatever's going on.
Yeah, so we might say that you're nothing, you're not one certain thing.
Right.
Even over through time, you're not one certain thing and then another certain thing. That's the illusion that we were kind of struggling with.
Yeah.
And that you are the capacity for any kind of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like what you're saying is that you're sort of exploring, going through life and living from there
mm-hmm.
with all the capacity. It's like I heard somebody say one time that practice is about keeping all the doors open.
Yeah.
You know, what we tend to do in our conditioning is choose one door that's called me.
Yeah.
You know, and then okay, that's the door that I go through. But yeah. we're not going through any doors really. We're keeping all the doors open so that everything's available.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing is, you know, we have to go through doors because we're physical beings going, and but then when we go through that door, we're still in a place where all the doors are open.
Yeah.
If that's what we're practicing.
Yeah. Because in a way, when I'm really present with going through any door, that's every door.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being present to anything is everything
mm-hmm.
in a way.
And the tricky part, of course, which I think you were pointing out earlier, is conditioning. You know, conditioning wants us to be fixed and be an I. You know, to say it really simply.
Yeah.
So it's always backing it up.
Yeah.
And so, like, you could take something like, well, conditioning is always trying to take experience and put it in a concept.
Right.
So now I'm going to have a preference about that.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to do concepts anymore.
Yeah.
You know, but that's just more, it's just the same thing, just like at that back at a different level.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I may have steered us away from where you were going. Was there more?
I don't think so. It's funny because just even, it's one of those things where I have an experience of it, of what we're talking about, and then I can't quite find the words for it, which
mm-hmm.
is a familiar process for me, I feel like. And so, yeah, even...
It's interesting because that's what we're talking about.
Exactly, I know, that's the thing. It's
mm-hmm.
like, that's what I mean by it sort of circles around.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's just sort of right there. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I was kind of looking at that this morning. There's a place in which we're all completely alone
mm-hmm.
in our lives, and it, mm-hmm. I feel like it's somewhere around the neighborhood of what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That at some point we lose the ability really to communicate about it, or to
mm-hmm.
we're just kind of left with our kind of our own experience.
Sort of the are you saying in that. We're all in this together, and we must each work out our own salvation diligently.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ways to talk about it. The other way you can talk about it is, like you were, as we've been talking, what I've been looking at is, so how can we do this without being I? How can we do the thing you're talking about, like staying open to everything?
Yeah.
That's always, for me, the mystery. It feels like that's a piece of what we're talking about on Thursday night, too.
Uh-huh.
How can we do practice without being somebody who does practice?
Yeah.
And there's this interesting way in which, you know, what I project the place you're talking about is that which is common in all of us.
Yeah.
Where not even just like you've got it, I've got it, and everybody's got it, but like we're all one thing
uh-huh.
in this place
yeah.
where there isn't any distinction.
Yeah.
You know, we're the life that moves through us. You know, it's the old, that art thou thing from
right.
Hinduism.
Uh-huh.
You know, that which is causing all this to be is that which I am.
Yeah, and I think that does point back at it, because it's that, and so there's that, well, the way I've heard Sherry talk about it is, basically, here's my paraphrase of it, we've got to give it everything we've got, knowing that that very effort is going to keep us from it,
mm-hmm.
but we have to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really been appreciating that in my report, listening back to some of these recordings, because that's one of the fun things about the shuffle thing is, you know, recording from 16 months ago will pop up,
mm-hmm.
and just appreciating that all of that had to be done, even even though you could say, like, oh, geez, you know, really trying to get somewhere and trying to feel a certain way and trying to, but it, in some way, it's all part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and none of it, tell me if you say this, none of it was what you did.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it feels like it at the time,
yeah.
Especially when you look back at it on that way, that's always my experience, like, boy,
yeah.
There was something rolling through that that was way bigger than anything I was aware of at that time.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like it's being done through us. Or,
yeah.
And we're just having these, you know, moment-by-moment experiences of assuming that's me doing that.
Yeah.
But whereas it's like this, you know, this life is unfolding in the way it's unfolding.
Yeah.
We're paying attention to it. That's really all that's happening.
Yeah.
Other than there's that, and this is what we're talking about on Thursday night, I think. There's the illusion. On Thursday, we're talking about it, or I was thinking about it as, the entity that calls itself Dave.
Yeah.
You know, there's this thing that's going through that seems to crystallize around it.
Yeah.
But really, but actually it doesn't have anything, isn't a part of it at all.
Yeah. So, you know, I just saw these three layers when you said that, because in those recordings, Jen is in there. Jen's in there recording, you know, doing Jen and being Jen and doing the thing and, you know, being all the ways that she is, and yet that's exactly right, that it feels like there's something much bigger and deeper that's rolling beneath, supporting that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that, whatever that is, life, however we're talking. There's Jen, who's kind of doing her thing, dancing around on top, and then there's egocentric karmic conditioning, just attempting to use the material to pull back in.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, even in the recordings, I can hear that. I can hear those movements.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, what I saw as you said that is, and it can't. Egocentric competition, it can't.
Yes.
Because with that kind of perspective, that's a part of what's rolling through as much as anything else is.
Yeah, it can eddy. In my experience, it can take little like side things and kind of eddy, but I suspect it actually, if I were to stop practicing, it could take the life back.
That's the difference. Yeah.
But if I keep showing up, it can't pull that. It can't reverse the direction. It can't stop the movement. It can only do its thing. But as you say, in a way, in the very bigger picture. Well, that's kind of good, because that's the karma that there is to be worn through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
if it can pull you to the right, it's because you can go to the right.
Exactly. That's still something.
Something unfinished.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. And so, okay, good. Let's wear that one out and then keep heading down the river. And now we go.
So what I hear you talking about is. Would you say that you're talking about like maintaining that perspective?
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of getting involved, I mean, we are going to get involved in a small, you know, the Jen or the Dave aspect of it.
Yeah.
But at least for us, you know, especially in the silence, it's pretty hard to completely lose the sense that this is happening in a container that's larger than just what's in that little episode.
Yeah, it's not impossible.
Not impossible. Can be done.
And I really think with the recording listening, with the amount of support, how often we come together as Sangha in all the different ways we do, that's what makes it impossible to stay there for any length of time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that bigger place gets reflected, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's really, really helpful then to have all that stuff happen in that bigger container.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's more helpful than just the smooth sailing,
mm-hmm.
where it doesn't, none of it comes up. That's just great.
It's good it's that way, because at least my experience of being here is just crashing and burning, basically.
Yeah.
Just kind of one time after another.
But in that bigger picture, to realize it actually isn't crashing. It's just these little tiny side roads into, okay, in my case, okay, Jen, here's another place you can get caught.
Mm-hmm.
And the more places we're getting caught, it's almost like we could say, you know, whatever, but it's a fun way to think about it. The more we realize, oh, practice is strong enough to contain these.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's cruising. Let's give her some good stuff to work with. You know, like, she's got a strong ship. Let's give her all, you know, this stuff to work through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just something that's just moving through time that's larger than me.
Yeah.
That's kind of making it all happen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Well, I was looking at sort of a more kind of concrete, down-to-earth aspect of what you were just talking about, and I was actually what came up for me was appreciating the practice of working meditation in the context of what we were just talking about, of just when you show up for working meditation, you're given an assignment, and you're within that assignment, you're asked to do certain things.
And doesn't matter if you like it or don't.
That's
like
right,
it.
And the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just sure. You know,
so yes, or I'm going home.
That's right.
Right. So two choices.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And if you're going home, maybe you're not coming back. But yeah, but it's just, you know, and I've over the years of doing that as a regular practice have, you know, really worked my way into a genuine yes in that situation, you know, after, you know, it wasn't always that easy, you know, it would be, sometimes it would be, yes, you know, but, you know, and, but I realized there's still someone who has the illusion when I go out the gate that somehow there's someone who shows up who's a little bit more in control of her life.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
at least in terms of the circumstances,
it is true, and it's not really in a way. I mean, because life still shows up and says, "Here," you know, and it shows up, and it's like the answer is obviously yes, but somebody goes, "Oh, but I was thinking I was gonna," mm-hmm. you know, and just looking at that place of. It's like working up to the same level of yes that I've gotten to in working meditation.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering as you were saying that, because you know, here, you really have no option.
Right.
Than, well, it's yes or misery.
Right.
Those actually are the two choices, not yes or I quit, because we're not going to quit.
Right.
Outside the privileged environment, it would take a lot of willingness, I would think, to put oneself in the same relationship.
Yeah.
With the content that arises. Because as you say, the content, we're out of control out there too.
Right, yeah.
Content's going to arise
right.
in the same way it does here in unexpected ways that are in opposition to our preferences.
Right.
But it would, I don't know because I'm not living out there, but I would imagine it would take quite an act of I don't know what the right word would be, but determination maybe, to remain in that same sort of choiceless relationship with it, whatever it might be.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I've been looking at, you know, sort of how to maintain that attitude of openness and welcoming to life to show me what is there for me and to be able to say yes to that. You know, at the same time knowing that I do have some choices that I can make about, you know, so we're in conditioning, in the world of conditioning, where I get caught is, so I go out the gate and I say, okay, now, here's my plan. You know, I want to do this, and then I want to do that, and I want to do that, and then something arises, you know, a phone call or something goes on, and it's like, I'm not going to be able to do that, you know, and just, you know, to be able to... to hold whatever I think is the plan lightly enough that when that arises, then it's just like, oh, well, okay, yes to that.
Yeah, he's really, really trying to internalize the monastery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what's happening here.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So there's the, I mean, there's, okay, here's what we're going to do.
And then,
we had that yesterday, actually. Right. Okay, we're going to glaze the windows. Well, it has to be over 40 degrees, so we're waiting for it to get over 40 degrees. Now we've got over 40 degrees.
Right.
And so, okay, well, there's this whole other thing that has to happen.
Yeah.
But for you, it's almost like you'd have to kind of break yourself into parts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's because there's the, like, the intention, there's the work coordinator. Okay, we're going to do this.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
And that's just the kind of plan. And then there's the monk who heads off to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's life happening.
Mm-hmm.
So can you kind of move, you know, if you just stay as the person who has the plan, and you say, well, that's certainly, like, that's not going to work.
That's right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and it's that... And then, you know, then conditioning could just take it to the other extreme and say, oh, well, since you never know what's going to happen, then just, you know, don't plan anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, just get up and sit there and wait for life to happen, you know.
That's the sitting on top of the roof while the helicopter.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I'm sure life any time is going to tell me what to do with my day. So, yeah, I have been looking at that. And
well, really, it's the same thing, isn't it?
It
that
is.
We were talking about as part of that conversation is, it requires not being I.
It does.
That's really what the practice entails.
Yeah, it requires getting out of that place where I think I know who I am and what I want and, you know, what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when often that I doesn't really know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a different being here who does. But when I'm with that I, then I think I know.
Right, and that's the separation and the becoming fixed in something that's outside of the full of life.
Yeah, and it's funny, you know, I recognize that there's a... So I think where the places I get to often now is... So like life will show up and present something, and I'm in I, and I've got my other plan going, and I've gotten to the place now where it's like I know the answer is yes, and I can't quite say it. You know, I have to like say maybe,
and then maybe's pretty good,
and then go talk myself into the yes. Uh-huh. You know, it's like okay, just give me a few minutes. You know, and I go, oh yeah, you're right, it is yes.
Right.
You know,
you need a little time to have your letting go in.
That's right. You know, and I think there's someone who really aspires to. collapsing the lead, you know, to getting closer to the yes without having to go through the maybe.
I bet you that's happened over time.
Yeah.
I mean, because that maybe could go on, or the first there's no, you know, go on for a really long time.
That's right.
I mean, the maybe could go on for a really long time, too.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's related to another thing I just saw when I was recording and listening something the other day, because I've been thinking a lot about how practice can be helpful for people who are out in the world doing, you know, saving the world type things, you know, trying to influence changes in the world. And one of the things that came up when I was thinking about that was, you know, often people get discouraged because they think their things they're doing are not making a difference. You know, they keep going to these meetings and saying the same things, and the people making the decisions keep making the wrong ones. And, you know, it can be really frustrating to people. And people will quit sometimes and say, well, I give up. It's not making a difference. And I heard myself thinking as I was doing that, or someone in me, it's more like the mentor probably saying, well, you know, just because things out there aren't changing doesn't mean what they're doing isn't making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I thought, okay, I'm going to project that back to what's going on with me, which is I took on a particular piece of karma this year that I wanted to see through and wanted to make some, quote, progress with, or wanted to be less at the mercy of, and have really been focused on that during the year and have really seen a lot about it. And someone feels like, but I haven't made any progress, that I can still get caught by it. And I thought, well, but what if that same thing is true of me, that just because I don't see the result I was looking for yet, does that mean that what I've been doing hasn't made a difference?
Yeah, and maybe it doesn't matter.
Right, maybe
because that seems pretty fundamental to this whole thing. Is, you know, is we're doing it for the process of doing it.
Right.
You know, it's the path, not the result. You know, people talk about that kind of thing. That really takes the pressure off. Because all we have to do is show up and do what we know needs to be done, and whatever happens with that, well.
Yeah. Exactly. It, you know, it's really again only that I that wants
to go somewhere.
I want to get there where you know where. I had a vision of what that looked like, which is the same, it's the exact same thing as I have a vision of what my day is going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. You know?
Yeah, the I wants to get there. It seems like the heart wants to get here.
Right.
And that's really the difference.
Yeah, exactly.
So as this conversation is going on, I was seeing that my the experience that came to me for staying in the game in the first conversation we were having, when some sort of duality arises, is practicing dropping the conversation about the duality and just focusing on what's here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because generally speaking, if something doesn't feel like it's going well, it is because somebody has a preference towards something that isn't going on in the moment.
So in the way you're talking about it, it's because you're not here.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's somebody who wants you know, something to be different, and is that it, yeah, being pulled into a conversation about that is what is the making the unhappiness or you know, inability to be, you know, content. And so it seems like that is actually being here always seems to, regardless of whether it's something that seems like I want to do or not to do, being here sort of takes, it's like the trump card. You know, it's better than anything anybody
can
be.
The condition can put up.
Yeah, so there's a preference for this and an avoidance of that, and none of that matters. If I just get here and I'm really here and I'm feeling and the sensations and breathing and putting my attention on what's here, even if it's something, if I wasn't here, I would look at it and I would say, I don't want to do that. I hate that, even, you know. It, so that particular thing of just dropping any kind of conversation and just kind of bringing all the senses and attention here seems to be, like the quickest route.
I think what you're talking about is also, in particular or particularly, coming here into the experience of it.
Yes.
So it might be something that if you're outside of here, like you said, it would be, oh, I want this, or this is hard or painful or difficult. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an experience that is here that's in relationship to that.
Yeah.
So there's the story about it, which is outside of here, and then there's the experience of it, which is here, which is not, it doesn't have anything to do with the story. And so you're talking about, it's not like coming back to some place of like bliss or...
No.
Necessarily. It could be coming to an experience of pain.
Just being there is the feeling that actually ultimately I realize is what I want once I get there.
It's what you want.
Yeah. It's so hard to talk, but when that particular experience doesn't feel like an I is having it, it's just like experience is being experienced.
When you're here.
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you're here, I is having the experience.
I is having it.
And that's why it's unhappy, because it's an I that doesn't exist that's having it.
Yeah, it's having an opinion about an experience more than having an experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's having a thought about experience.
Story
about experience.
I'm watching from the outside that kind of happening with someone else. My mother just lost her little dog
companion. Oh.
And, you know, she's very old now. My mother, the dog is very old too. My mother's very old, and so it's just really hard because they were just together, you know. And
jeez.
It brought so much joy to her life and so much, you know.
Ouch.
Yeah, but I'm watching my mother is not able to feel what she's feeling because of the opinions about how this should be, you know.
Mm. It's just so tragic.
It's tragic, you know, and I'm trying to sort of interject another perspective, you know, without trying to control it. But there's all this, you know, sort of conditional that, you know, you shouldn't have that kind of emotions about a dog, you know. And,
Yeah, without that, it would be a gift.
It totally
even
is.
Even the death would be a gift.
Yeah.
Because she would get to, because that's part of life as much as anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And she would get to experience that, and it would be the final gift of her little friend on its way out.
Yes, and I had that experience letting go of a companion, a four-legged companion that I lived with for 16 years. And I never would have imagined before having it that that could be such a beautiful experience and such a heart-expanding experience of gratitude and love and all of that, you know. Mm-hmm. So it totally surprised me, you know.
Yeah. Well, the other part about that just seems really vague is that, of course, it's going to happen to all of us. You know, your mom is probably... Not, I don't know how old she is. I think she's in her 80s, isn't she?
She's 89.
89, yeah. So, I mean, who knows? She might go on for a long time, but at some point, she's going to, like, as we all, she's going to have that experience.
Yeah.
And, I mean, who knows what will happen with her. But
right.
We can certainly have the intention to practice in the way we're talking about, because we're going to want to do that same thing with us as we go through, go out.
Yeah.
You know, because if we know ahead of time it's going to happen, as we're leaving, if we're going to a bunch of this shouldn't be happening.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh, it would just waste such a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
To tie up this life in a beautiful way, not to tie it up, but to, you know, to go out, to leave this life experiencing leaving this life.
Yeah.
Boy, that's what I think, for me at least, that's what I really want.
Yeah, so just to keep that same open to what is happening. You know, the stories I've heard of people that have had those kinds of deaths that have been beautiful, you know, and have been, it just seems like that's exactly what was happening, was the people were there for it,
mm-hmm.
and willing to experience it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my projection, but mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like they're struggling and, you know, trying to hang mm-hmm. on.
Well, that sure is our experience now, isn't it? As we go through our lives now, or whatever, you know, because that's what brings life into life now,
mm-hmm.
is getting out, like you're saying, getting out of this and mm-hmm. getting here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to imagine that that's what we're going to want to do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's every experience I have of that, just it just so shows that whatever opinion this has, just has no relation to what the real experience of it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it just doesn't know how to be present, and so how could it possibly mm-hmm. have that experience? And so
it really makes clear what the stakes are too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If we practice believing the stories and living it out there, it's just that's such a great example of everything.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
You know, here's what the consequences are.
We don't get to have the experience of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think I'm looking at something like this on a really subtle level feeling like I'm enduring certain circumstances or situations and then preferring or wanting other ones, and even in the content, they're not very different, you know, so if I enjoy doing this particular thing and it could involve being on a computer, it will be, I can't wait to go do that. I love to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have another experience where it involves the computer, but it's like, you know, something like data entry or something like that, you know, and it's like, God, this is really mm-hmm. whatever. Or,
but you're doing the same thing.
It's essentially the same thing, mm-hmm. literally, yeah. It's just that in somewhere, or like, I need to do this transitional thing, just cleaning up. And it's not the same thing as doing the actual project.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow these divisions that really don't actually exist anywhere in life mm-hmm. are being created
mm-hmm.
by, I would suspect, conditioning, you know, the story about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watch how that just like it pumps up energy in this way and it deflates it this way. And it just kind of creates this experience that I think is the experience of conditioned mind, you know, like a movie, like, I don't really want this to happen, you know, and all this drama with the music playing. Well, we really like this, you know, the chase scene. Okay, great, let's do that.
And we get suspicious when it's doing that, isn't it?
It's a
symbol, that
yes.
Inflation, deflation, we can know we're being harvested. The energy's being siphoned off.
It's like it's pumping it up so it can pop it, pumping it up mm-hmm. so it can pop it. It's just constantly non-stop in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can see how on the other side of duality would be, well, don't do that, you know, don't want anything,
mm-hmm.
don't get involved in any of that, just lie down and, you know, let life kind of like
run you over.
Yeah, two choices there you go, play the game or don't, we'll run you over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just watch how it's like, you know, we all have things in life that feel like, at least for me, it feels like I have stuff to do, and it's funny because it's like, I think it's the clinging to stuff,
mm-hmm.
or the pushing away stuff that's that. It's like, I'm not sure if it's preferences so much as clinging or pushing away, you know, that is the real issue in them.
Well, I think, on a process level, we're talking about just breaking things into pieces.
Because yeah.
the life, as it is not in pieces, it's just one process.
Yes.
And so it would make sense that given that that's the nature mm-hmm. of life, that condition, we need to break it up into pieces to compare and contrast to.
Exactly.
Because, you know, you can't, if there's only one thing, you can't have likes and dislikes.
Yeah.
Because there's only one thing.
Exactly. It's the thing.
So it's got to break it up into little pieces. Oh, I like that. I don't like that.
Exactly.
I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. It is. And that's why it feels like I can miss a life, because it's like, this isn't part of the scheme somehow. Mm-hmm. It's, every time I feel like I'm pushing away something, it feels like I'm missing out on what's there. Mm-hmm. In that,
you're also missing out when you get to do the thing you want to do.
Because
you know that's a little more deceptive, because it feels like fun or something.
Yeah, having the right experience.
But that's just as much a part of the conditioned scheme as anything else.
It's a complete trap. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because everything I do is trying to work its way over to have that experience, and that experience is transitional or transitory or whatever it is. As the other one.
Well, and it's on its way to.
On its way to the
deflation.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're being used.
That's where practice just fits in. And I just so like the notion of it's the process, not the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's this great recording that I have. I wish I knew where I recorded it. The material from something that Chariot said, something about, you know, you wake up every morning and pat your nose 3 times. It really doesn't matter what you do. You're just committing to something.
Uh-huh.
And in that commitment, the transformation happens. We're not doing this to end suffering. We're doing this because the process is ending suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really, really profound way of talking about simply living a life and paying attention and committing to what it, you know, just staying in the game without any kind of like what it's supposed to be.
That's what I was saying too. I was relating to the first conversation, because that's what the commitment's to.
Because
it really doesn't matter what it is,
exactly.
But it's the commitment to that. I can't really say it, but I keep having this kind of visual of, you know, all this stuff's happening in life, but there's this one steady thing that's going through time that doesn't waver. But you know, the heart, we might call it, or something, or clarity, and that's just always—it's just always going through.
Mm-hmm.
And we're having preferences and likes and dislikes. We're going all over the place, but that's always going through. And it seems like the commitment you're talking about—that's what it is. I'm committing to that.
Exactly.
I'm committing to giving up all of the ways that I try to sabotage that or leave that.
Mm-hmm.
Or turn that over into something conditioning can use, and I'm just committing to that. No matter what happens, that's my intention, is to stay with that.
Yeah, and that kind of intention, it can contain all of these things that happen within life, all of these ups and downs, all that. It's like almost like when we talk about conditioned mind exists within whole mind. It's like all that drama can exist within this bigger perspective, as long as I'm in, like, bigger perspective needs to contain it, or it does contain it. It's like it's not a doing in any way, but it's funny how they just exist together.
Mm-hmm. Even liking and disliking.
Because
from here, I hate that entry. You know, that's just that's from here.
That's exactly.
You know, it's just allowing that experience to move through. Or I really love this. That's just allowing this experience to move through.
That's
not being given over to conditioning to use, because it's still in reference to that. The perspective is still there, that understands this is all, none of this really means anything. It's all part of a whole instead of little pieces.
What's the key word that you used? Accepting. You accept that it's happening this way, and you accept that it's happening that way. It's like, I feel it, like sometimes when we look at the heart chakra, it just has no preferences. It's like it says yes to everything. It's accepting. And it's like, I feel like that's, when you were doing that path through, I felt like that was what, it was like when we talk about the circle of acceptance just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all of these experiences just funnel their way through into it.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what they are.
It doesn't really matter what they are.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Thanks.
Beth, anything?
I find this topic of conversation highly fascinating. I feel that it's being open and accepting to absolutely everything and not having preferences. I get it intellectually and conceptually, and yeah, that's, you know, how we, but I also find it very challenging, especially being in relationship to somebody else. If I go along being like, yeah, whatever, yeah, let's do that, yeah, let's do it, you know, And I can be open like that, then I find that I come to a point where something else bubbles up and says, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know,
makes
it's
sense.
Not so much likes and dislikes, or I would prefer to have, you know, pizza tonight versus, you know, sushi or something like that. It's more, you know, I can go either way on that, but it's more like, well, am I in a heart-expanding experience with this other person, or am I getting to a point where life energy is being sucked away by something?
Mm-hmm.
So I go back to, so that's why I find this conversation, you know, it's because I really struggle with that. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm so, you know, yeah, whatever, you know, yeah, that's great.
Now,
yeah.
That, it sounds like, in what you're saying, that's being equated with this openness and acceptance that we're talking about.
And maybe that's where I'm tripping up a little bit, because I feel like, okay, go ahead.
Well, I was just wondering if that's the, you know, lay on the ground, get run over side of duality,
right.
Instead
right.
Of just...
Right, exactly. And so I guess what I go back to is trying to trying to experience, maybe that's a better word, something that Sherry's put forth, which is, well, the heart says it once, and then conditioning tells you all the reasons you should or shouldn't do it, mm-hmm. You know, that kind of, and then you don't hear about what you might like to do, or I guess like or prefer to, or what's good for the heart, what's good to stay with center, mm-hmm. And then you kind of might hear it again, and then conditioning, you know, runs away with it. So where I find my practice really challenging at this point, especially in being in a relationship with somebody else, is, okay, what does this feel like?
Right.
What does this have to say about it versus, you know, trying to really discern between conditioning just running with the story versus, well, this actually doesn't feel good.
Yeah, and this, if I understand what you're saying, this you're talking about, there's an appropriate response to that, isn't there?
Huh.
In you. Like, if you're, so out here, there's all these preferences and opinions, and basically no matter what we do, it's going to get used by the machine to cause
right.
us to suffer.
Right.
You know, yeah, sure, whatever. I mean, there is only two sides of duality, you know, my way or your way. But here, what I think you're saying is that there's a place that's not within the duality. You're talking about as the heart that's
yeah.
here. And
yeah.
here, we're seeing what's so.
Uh-huh.
Not through the eyes of conditioning, but just
right.
seeing through the eyes of whatever, of the perspective that we have in the place that we are right now in our lives from here.
Yeah, hopefully with compassion and respect.
Yeah, and if we're here, that's
yeah.
very likely we're going to be a part of it.
Yeah.
And from there, there's an appropriate response
yes.
to the situation that arises.
Right.
You know, it's the thing, you know, that people talk about as skillful means. There's, and it might be, it might look, from out here, it might look like a preference.
Right, that's what, yes.
But it's not a preference in the way that this is a preference. Mm-hmm. It's just a response to what's here.
I think that's what I'm trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling okay with that. You know, understanding that, okay, I have, you know, 100 little girls I have to, not I have to, but that I want to take care
to.
Of.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that skillful means or that response that I take in that situation is to protect or is to get them out of a situation that's just going to go, as somebody said, high and to the right,
mm-hmm.
which sounds like conditioning. So, you know, because I don't want to go there. You know, I just, I don't want that to be the experience.
It really depends where we're coming from, doesn't it? You know, the thing, nirvana and samsara are the same?
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
that's what we're talking about, because it could be the same action, even.
Mm-hmm.
And it might, it, you know, from here, that's a, that's, we might say, an appropriate response to the moment. From out here, that's just conditioning acting itself out to try to get control of the situation.
Right, right. So it goes back to kind of where your intent is and where you're operating from, as opposed to, you know, am I operating from conditioning or am I operating from a place at center or
mm-hmm.
from my heart? And I just want to share this for this morning because I thought it was kind of funny. so in a microcosm way of experiencing that, I woke up this morning, I got here from the East Coast yesterday, and I woke up at 6 o'clock, and I thought, okay, and I just kind of laid in my hermitage and just, wow, I'm so glad I'm here, and you know, all the thoughts that run through my head and everything. And I get up and I go to the bathroom and I come back, and I think, okay, I'm going to, you know, what I heard, you know, this is a leisure day, but you know, that you still get to do, you know, do some stuff. And of course, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I've never been here without retreat happening. So, you know, I'm like, the world is all of a sudden totally open. And so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do my own meditation here, and I'm gonna sit. And so I sat and I looked at my sleeping bag and I went, No, you must sit, you know, you gotta, you know, try this monk hood out, you know, try this experience. Hey, you know. Oh. And all of a sudden I found myself laying down and going like back to sleep for another couple of hours. And I woke up at 9:17 and I'm going, oh, I missed breakfast, and you know, so I got to watch this whole wonderful thing about, even though I knew there were no expectations, there weren't any, you know, strictures at this time in the morning, but yet what my mind, you know, or conditioning had said, oh no, you should be doing, you know, all of this stuff. So I got to say, wow, I just went back to sleep for 2 hours. That was,
you beat.
That was so cool. That was so fun to do. So I took that as sort of like I was coming from a place where, you know, somebody was, you know, something was trying to take care of me. Something was trying to say, look, just, God, just lay down, you know, mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world.
Well, and from the place you're talking from, I think, it wouldn't really matter what you did.
Exactly. So lay down or meditate, you know. Mm-hmm.
They're both great.
So it was fun to...
Yeah, but from out here, no matter which one you did, it would be the wrong day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, wait, or at least had a preference.
Yeah, or the regret. Or like, oh, shoot, I should have sat. Yeah, or I missed my big opportunity to sleep.
I had this image come up when we were talking about the game, mm-hmm. And I was thinking about games, and particularly team sports, and something like soccer. I haven't played soccer, actually. I played field hockey, but it's similar, or basketball. And what came up for me as a helpful image for me was, you know, if you're playing something like field hockey, you might not get the ball for, you know, the game, you know, or a minute at a time.
You're just running up and down the field.
No, but you're in the game.
But you're still in the game.
You know, and if you're a player, you're in the game every minute, and you may never get the ball. But whether you're in the game or not has a huge influence on the game, which you have no idea what that influence is. Even though you never touch the ball. And at any moment, the ball may come slamming at you, and you have to do something. I just thought it's a great model of conditioning to say, I'm either going to have the ball, or I'm going to lie here in the field and, you know, pull the handle.
I'm not going to play.
and there's the invitation that I think life offers, because the picture is bigger than me, the game is bigger than me. It for me, it was just a helpful way of getting that the game goes on whether I'm there or not. But if I'm there and I'm really there, then I'm playing a part in how that game goes on that I may never see at all. But I can know that my being there, really playing, is influencing it somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like that part about you never know. You may never know now. That was being talked about earlier, too.
Yeah.
That all you can do is just, it's clear what your role is. Mm-hmm. And so you just have to show up and do that.
Yeah.
And then just trust that it fits in some kind of a concept that we never really know. We never really do know. Sometimes looking backwards at what happens, like, oh, I can kind of see how all that went together. But for right now, I mean, usually, at least in my experience, we're just completely clueless.
Well, and even when we look backwards, we say, well, I see how that fit. Well, we see something.
Hard to know.
Who knows what that was. But I remember watching games sometimes and seeing those players who were just so vitally in it, you know? And it enlivened the game. You know, that what the game was arose in large part because of the energy they brought to it, whether they ever did something or not. You know?
Yeah, I saw this movie, I don't know if we saw it, maybe I saw it with my mother when I was visiting, but about this guy, he was a he joined the football team, and it must have been college or something, and he was really little. And so he really couldn't be very effective, but they let him stay on the team because he was just so in. He was just so in. I don't know if you saw this movie.
No.
But he went, there's a true story apparently. It must have been college because he showed up for every practice. He was 110%, you know, and he never played for 4 years. And then they put him in the last play of the season at his last game when he was a senior. And the whole stadium just stood up and cheered. Because just brings me to tears.
Yeah,
he just had given it all, even though from a certain point of view, you would say he got nothing.
Yeah, I saw something on Yahoo the other day about some football player in a wheelchair who scored on the last play of the last game of the season. Can't imagine how you tackle him, but I mean, you know, the same sounds like the same kind of thing. That he probably never played, and then they put him in because he was there. But I mean, it's that being there, you know, ready for whatever, and if whatever doesn't seem to happen, you're still there.
You're still there,
and you're being there as a part of the larger whatever.
Yeah, it's that commitment. Yeah, it doesn't change your commitment. Mm-hmm. What the results, whatever imagined or real result, it doesn't change the commitment. The commitment is to being there in the game.
Yeah, what it also just occurred to me as you were reflecting that is, I've been in that position playing lots of team sports growing up, and if I think I've got to have the ball and score and all that, and I don't, it's a miserable experience. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in the game, I have a great time. Mm-hmm. I have a great time. So it really is doing it for me. I come back enlivened whether I've ever touched the ball or not.
So you might say you're doing it for the team, and you're doing it for you at the same time.
Because truly there's no separation.
And there's no separation. So we're doing it for life, and that's what takes care of us too.
Yeah.
You know, what really impacted me on that last conversation was the ball can come to you at any time, and if you're not present, you're going to miss it. So it's your opportunity to play. It comes your way, and it just seemed like such a metaphor for life, because since it's all one thing and there isn't any separation, we are part of the larger team. And if we're not practicing to be present, the opportunity for us, we can miss our opportunity to really be a contribution, or to feel like we are, or to have an experience of connection, or contribution, participation, whatever it is. So we miss that for ourselves, and we also let the team down. I mean, we don't play our part. That's actually our responsibility.
So it's the opposite. So when we are there and playing our part, then even if we never touch the ball, we're assisting ourselves and we're assisting the team. If we leave that for something, you know, like the preferences we're talking about or whatever, then the same thing happens in reverse, where we lose for us and we lose for all, lose for the team.
Exactly. And as you were saying that, what I was seeing is, if I am playing just for the times when I get to shine, when the ball's mine, I'm here. I am more likely from that attitude to miss the ball coming to me.
Completely.
Because I'm not playing right now.
We're not practicing it.
Yeah.
You're just waiting around and the ball comes and you have no idea what to do with it because you haven't been doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, and paying attention to where the ball is and how being ready for it to come to me if it does.
The other part of this that I think is really interesting is, in this place where we're really a part of the team, then the team scores. And we did that.
Yes.
I did that.
Yes.
Even though I never touched the ball, I did that.
Yeah.
Not I did, it's more we did. It's just such a generous place it feels like to be coming from.
Yeah.
Instead of if I'm not the one who scores, then really, who cares?
Yeah. I didn't get to shine. I don't get my picture on the sports page or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it seems like the energy of the whole entire universe right now is shifting from the orientation of me to the orientation of we.
Well, that's good news.
Yeah, it's not actually. actually news that the media is presenting, but it's definitely underground news that's really happening.
How do you know that?
Because I'm looking into it.
Mm-hmm. You're seeing it.
I'm seeing it. Yeah, there's all kinds of alternative things with energy, with money, with cooperative kinds of things like what do they call those things? Shared sourcing. You know, like there's this organization. And I think it was kind of one man got the idea, but you know that a lot of people can't farm, can't produce what they need in the food because it takes equipment and stuff. And so he started making plans of how to make farm equipment and different kinds of equipment to build and all kinds of stuff, you know, out of common things that are around. Mm-hmm. Putting those on the internet so everybody could make them. And so then people who see it, they bring their plans to it. Pretty soon you've got this thing where you can go and there's all this information and it's not intellectual property where, you know, people are putting a patent on it and people are getting paid for it to be used. It's available. And people are sharing in that way more and more and more. And the information that people have access to now is making more people feel engaged and they're sharing all these creative ideas. And it is really exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. That kind of is like a theme. I kind of got a
I took you there. Yeah, that is interesting, though.
Yeah, it's really big.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll find to see what happens.
Yeah, well, it's happening.
Thank you all.